Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going on right now, I'm talking with Nilo from Insomnium. He is the vocalist, he is the bassist. They have a new album coming out February 24th, starting 2023, right? How crazy is it? 2023, man. Wow.
Well, it sounds like we're in the future already. Like it has been like that for a long time. But yeah, a new album is coming out and we're excited. Feedback so far seems to be really enthusiastic and let's just see what the fans and everybody thinks about the album. So,
absolutely, yeah. Man. You guys, first off, welcome to the show. And where are you right now? Are you at home?
I'm at home. Kotka is a small town on the south coast of Finland. There's a lot of snow at the moment. Like all the cars are stuck there. There's a huge amount of snow coming from the sky. So winter's here.
Is that something you're used to? Is there a lot of snow where you're from?
It varies because we are on the south coast. We might have a winter that we don't really have snow at all, but like last winter was like this. There was a lot of snow. So we are prepared, but you never know what's going to happen.
Right on, man. Well, you can hamper down and just get ready for this record. And you know, we're excited for it. So just doing a little bit of digging here and just, you know, obviously, so you guys are not strangers to concepts, and this new album is going to be a concept album, Ennio 1969, and it's short story. So it's based on a short story that you wrote.
Yeah.
Do you mind, kind of explaining that a little bit?
Yeah. I had this idea of the rough concept of the story already. A couple of years ago, I think it was 2019, I already talked to the other guys that, okay, I had this idea about 17th century setting and that, what do you guys think? Should we make another concept album? And well, COVID came, ruined things changed. We did Argent Moon EP, four songs. But after that, we started making this album, and I finished the story, I think it was summer of 21, so, and then we really started composing the material, so many of the songs are really specifically composed and done for this story and this atmosphere and mood, so it became quite dark, dreary album. I think it's closer to Winter's Gate than Heart Like a Grave. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, the story is set in 17th century Finland, really dark and turbulent times in history. We were still burning witches here in the north of Europe during those years. And also it was a year of great famine in the north. Like in a couple of years, 1/3 of population of Finland died because there was just no food.
Wow.
Really dark, desperate time. So very proper setting for a heavy metal album.
Yes, absolutely, man. So, wow. So, you know, when you're going out to play these songs like at like a festival and people are like drinking and they're like, yeah, woo, and you're like, all right, here's this depressing song about one of the most depressing times in history.
Yes.
Raise your beer.
Exactly. But like, we've always been like that. Like our songs are, well, we take our music very seriously and the music is very, very sad.
Yeah,
can be desperate, hopeless, but in live situation, it's different. The mood is a bit different, and we will raise the glasses and show the horns, and it's more of a rock and roll show.
Totally,
when we perform live. But of course, the combination can be a bit funny, that especially on summer festivals. But totally. I think it works still.
So you know, just digging in a little bit. You know, when you were growing up, what got you into music? What did you come from a musical background, musical family, or, you know, was it something that you kind of ventured and found on your own?
Well, I think I found it on my own. I think my parents are not really very musical.
Sure.
They read a lot of books. Like my father is a professor of literature. Mother worked in library. So I was surrounded by books. And then I found music kind of by myself. I think Jean-Michel Jarre, this French synth artist, is the first artist I remember as a kid. I love that stuff. But then I found bands like Queen, AC/DC, Aerosmith. I got into rock and roll.
Yeah.
And Metallica's Black Album then turned me into metalhead and went even to the darker places after that. So that's kind of my path to music.
Was the like you said, kind of the darker and more metal side of things, were those easily available where you were at, or did you have to do a little bit of digging?
Well, kids nowadays don't know what it was like.
Yep.
In the beginning of the 90s, there was no internet, of course. Basically, you had to walk into the record store and just, you could try different CDs from the shelf, put the headphones on, what is this like, what is this like? Of course, you read the magazines, what was hot there, what was not. And there was this radio charts program from that I discovered, like many bands from there, like Paradise Lost, Sentenced, Sepultura. So I'm getting into the darker and darker territory all the time, but it was really different. You didn't have YouTube or Spotify, so
yep,
you needed dedication and some time to find out the new stuff. And tape trading, of course, copying to the cassette, borrowing stuff from friends, that's what everybody did.
And then what was your first live concert? Were there concerts near and underground shows where you were living, or was that something that was later on?
Yeah, luckily, Joensuu, a town where Insomnia was formed and where I lived as a kid, they have very good big summer festival there and a lively rock scene already back in the day. So there were concerts, and also concerts where like underage kids could get into.
Yeah.
And I think my band played in some bars already when I was like 16 or something. So maybe those were the first concerts to actually play there myself. And but like some bigger bands, I think Sentenced was playing in our hometown, and it was a real bar, so I should have been 18, but I sneaked in as a 17-year-old and really enjoyed Sentence playing there. So, and also Nightwish played in this very, very small, because they come from even smaller village, like 60 kilometers from where we started. But during their first album, they played in Joensuu, this very small club. There was maybe 100 people, and I was in the front row watching Nightwish show. That was also very cool.
So, you know, we here in America, we have the quote unquote big four of American thrash: Slayer, Anthrax, Metallica, and Megadeth. In your opinion, and this is just, you know, your favorites, or, you know, what you think is the most important, historically, big four of Finnish metal.
Well, I think, well, the biggest bands, what must be Nightwish, Him, Children of Bodom, Apocalyptica Amorphis, and then there's Sentenced, of course, and Stradivarius.
Yeah.
These bands that already kind of made it already in the 90s and started this boom of heavy metal in Finland. And I think those are the biggest names in Finnish metal, and many of them are still active, which is really cool.
Then there's, you know, so many sick, like, you know, Finnish death metal bands from like the, like, you know, like I saw a band called Demolik, you know, that was, they were awesome. I saw them last summer and I was like, man, this is awesome. So, you know, man, definitely a rich history there. So what made you pick up an instrument, you know, or no, you mentioned that. So, you know, you got to play an all ages show. What was your first band? Let's talk about your first band.
Yeah, it was a punk band. We were 14, 15 when we started. And I think all the other friends in that group, they already played some instrument, but there was no bassist. So I had to take the bass. I remember the rehearsals. Yeah, the first song I had to play was For Whom the Bell Tolls. And of course, it starts with a bass lead.
Yeah.
Kind of a tricky thing to start with, but eventually we got it going. So we played Metallica covers, Nirvana covers. Then we made some of our own funny punk songs. And it was our first band when I was like 15. So those were great times, of course. And I had another band, which was kind of grunge. Mm-hmm. Band when I was 16, 17, but then I got fed up with that. I wanted to form a real metal band and formed Insomnium with Ville and Marcus. We were all in the same school, so that's how it got started.
That's awesome, man. If you had never started a band, if you had never found music, what do you think you would be doing today?
It's a very good question. Would probably be writing. Well, I am writing now. Yeah. I'm writing a book actually, but that's something was kind of my first passion, was to write. I read a lot of stuff as a kid already, so I would have done that all this time if I had not found music at all. But now I can do both, and that's even better, of course.
So the obviously we talked a little bit about the short story that inspired the album. Has that related at all to the book that you said you're working on?
Actually not, because the book is kind of continuation of Winter's Gate.
Oh.
Our concept album from 2016, which is set in like medieval times, the Viking era. Mm-hmm. So I'm expanding that idea, and of course the scale is much bigger, because now it's a real novel. It's like 500 pages, and I'm working on that, been doing it for over 2 years now. And well, I have a publisher and editor and everything, but it still takes some time before get it all together. So I can't promise anything that it will be on the Christmas markets next year, but I'm working every day.
That's amazing, man. So, wow. So, you know, a 500 page, this is going to be like the grand piece for the Insomnium nerd. Like, it's anyone who wants to just deep dive even into like the, you know, the even deep, they can listen to the music, they can go see the concerts. But if you want to go really hard, you got to read the book. You got to dive even deeper into the lore. And man, that's really cool. Wow, so this is your first book, fully published book, correct?
Yes, please.
And if this goes well, then, you know, who's to say we can't expand all Insomnium Records? And then you just have a completely different, you know, most bands have a merch spread with t-shirts and, you know, CDs. You'll have all your books. Amazing.
Well, let's see how it goes. But like, theoretically, we could have, of course, books on the merch stand. That would be, yeah.
I'm getting ahead of things. Sorry.
Yeah. No worries. But there's a lot of work, of course, and I don't want to release any half-ready edition stuff. It has to be as good as I can do. So might take a year or two or three. I don't know. But when it's ready, I hope we can do the English version as well. Already talked with the publisher about that. That I know there are people who would love to read it. So
absolutely.
English version would be really cool.
Is that something that you dedicated a lot of time during the pandemic to?
Yes. I can think it saved me during the pandemic that every day I could wake up, start writing my book. I didn't have to worry about the ish that's going on in the world. I could just delve into the story, do that. So it was the best therapy that I could think of during the whole pandemic era.
I can imagine, because, you know, reality was very dark, and yes. But you could go into a world that is also dark but was in the past and is also kind of a world of what you're making and creating, and but you know, that's awesome, man, that you were able to, you know, first off have that time to your art, but also that it was able to, you know, be an escape. And you got something, you know, wonderful from as a product.
Exactly. And of course, the story that I'm writing is very dark and yeah. Horrible things happen there. But still, like, it's a totally different thing. And I rather think those dark things have happened in the past and make things up myself than think about the reality. So it was really an escape from the pandemic as well.
That's awesome. So, you know, is there anything that you listen to that's like not metal that might surprise people? Are you a fan of, you know, classical music or jazz, or is there like some sort of, you know, artist that's not metal that you like?
I think for 3 years in a row, my most listened artist in Spotify is Jeremy Soule. It's a guy who did the Skyrim soundtrack.
Okay.
I love the Skyrim game soundtrack. It's, well, if people don't know, it's kind of classical, very atmospheric music, very easygoing. And like, I usually start my days that I just put it on here, do my morning stuff here, have the coffee over the computer, and that music is playing in the background. It kind of suits every possible situation. So I've been really listening to that stuff lately. And also movie soundtracks, was Ennio Morricone,
yeah,
and Hans Zimmer. But everybody knows these guys. But like great soundtracks. But yeah, game music, movie soundtracks. Awesome. I mostly listen to that kind of stuff.
So, are you into video games? Do you play a lot of games?
Yes, I play quite a lot of games. I tend to play the same games over and over.
Yeah.
That I find great, but yeah, I'm a gamer. Yes.
Nice. All right. Well, maybe sometime you'll just throw out your gamer tag and get a bunch of Insomnium fans to come up and try and play with you. And
yeah, let's see.
Let's see. Awesome, man. Well, I don't want to take up your whole day. I know you got a lot of press to get to, and you got to keep writing your book, man. So my last question, pick a scar on your body and tell us the story of how you got the scar.
I think I only have really one scar. It's in my knee, left knee.
Okay.
That I got when I was 7 years, and I was riding with my bicycle down the hill as fast as I could with my friends. And of course I fell and I got bruises and blood all over my body, but like the knee got hurt the most, and that's still visible there.
Wow.
Everything else got healed, but that's still there. Battle scar.
Battle scar from seven years old on the bike, man.
Yes.
Nilo, thank you so much for taking the time. Again, February 24th, the new Insomnium album, Anno 1969. Any final words for Seattle and the audience?
Check out the album, and we really hope to come to Seattle as soon as possible.
Right yeah. on. Well, thank you so much, man. Have a good rest yeah. of your day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.